Who here knows what day this is in the church calendar? Becky knows. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Had someone this morning at the 8 o'clock service say, was there a wedding here yesterday because of the beautiful white flower arrangements? Aren't they beautiful? Well, this is a day of celebration. We wear the white vestments for celebration. It's a day to celebrate the full authority of Christ as King and Lord of the universe. Officially, it is called the Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King. So it's no surprise we had some very awesome readings this morning. Our first reading was in Daniel. You probably know Daniel more by the story of Daniel and the lion's den, right? To give a little more background to him, Daniel was a noble Jewish youth of Jerusalem who was taken into captivity by the king of Babylon. He served that king and his successors with loyalty and ability, all the while remaining true to the God of Israel. He's not a prophet in the Judaism, but the rabbis reckon him to be the most distinguished member of the Babylonian captivity, unsurpassed in piety and good deeds, and firm in his devotion to the law, despite being surrounded by enemies who did what they could to ruin him. The various branches of the Christian church do recognize him as a prophet, and although he's not mentioned in the Quran, Muslim sources describe him as a prophet. This lends more to the credibility of the vision he has in our readings this morning. Daniel lived through some pretty uncertain times as an exile in Babylon. Death threats, temperamental kings, backbiting officials, puzzling dreams, just to name a few things that he had to face during his 70-year exile. Under King Belshazzar's reign, Daniel endured probably the greatest amount of uncertainty he had ever faced. During this difficult time, God gave him a dream. From our reading this morning, I'm especially drawn to the words, "As I was watching, thrones were raised up. The Ancient One took his seat. I suddenly saw one like a human being coming with the heavenly clouds. He came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. Rule, glory, and kingship were given to him. His kingship is indestructible." His kingship, Christ the King. Daniel's vision gave him a confident hope in the future. He needed that. Our God is a good God, not one of doom and despair. Isn't that what we all need when we're going through a time of uncertainty in our life? A fresh vision of Jesus, right? And Daniel saw him 500 years before he actually came. What a powerful image. And then we had our second reading this morning from the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Ooh, revelation, so you're going to touch on it. It reminds me of a story of a 5-year-old girl who was helping her mother fix dinner that evening. And her mother says, "Would you please go into the pantry and get me a can of tomatoes?" Well, she was scared to go in there. She didn't want to go in there because it was dark. And the mother says, "You're okay. You're okay. Jesus is in there. He'll protect you." So the little girl goes to the pantry, opens the door, and says, "Jesus, if you're in here, would you reach me a can of tomatoes?" And concerning the book of Revelation, we're like that little girl sometimes, aren't we? We're afraid and intimidated by this book. So we don't want to get into it and study it, feeling that we won't understand it. So we want somebody else to give it to us, right? Give us the information. And we opt to stay out. But it's really a great book. For instance, the scene that was described this morning in our reading is one of a king arriving. And there is no mistake regarding who he is or why he has come. The author declares, "Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him." In this foretelling of Christ's second coming, the Messiah is returning to the earth in an unmistakable fashion, befitting a king. This is so unlike his first coming, isn't it? When he arrived without the expected pomp and circumstance, and instead came into the world as an infant, totally dependent upon those who would raise him up. Jesus Christ is certainly the faithful witness of all things. He is the first risen from death, and he is the absolute ruler of all kingdoms. He deserves all glory. Because of his great love for us, we have been freed from the slavery of sin through his shed blood on the cross. He's a superhero. Some of you may have seen this picture or poster, and some of it's actually on some t-shirts now I'm seeing. You have a ledge, and along the ledge, you have the Marvel Comics superheroes, right? You have Batman, you have Superman, you have Spider-Man down there hanging down, and some others. And they're all focused on the person sitting in the middle. And that person in the middle is Jesus. And Jesus is saying, "And that's how I saved the world." You know, he is a superhero of superheroes. This Jesus is the Messiah King, the ruler of the kings of the earth, who comes into the world in surprising ways, not only to change the course of history, but also to invite the whole world, each and every one of us, to participate and become his kingdom on earth. "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, "the one who is and was and is coming, the Almighty." You may know the Alpha and the Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. By using these words, God is saying he was evermore and will be evermore, including all times in between. Terms we humans can't fully comprehend, because we need a beginning point and an ending point for our clarity of understanding, don't we? And it's interesting that the original manuscript, John writes out the word Alpha, but only uses the letter symbol of Omega. It's interesting. I wonder if that's because God is the end that has no ending. In our gospel reading, Jesus said, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world." No, it does not. The more we hear about God's kingdom, the more we understand that it is very different, or in reverse, in comparison to the world as we know it. Christ the King, King of Kings, the Almighty, a God of love, of patience, of healing. And what always amazes me is this God lives in us. 2 Timothy says, "Through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Ephesians says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Colossians says, "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hebrews says, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are." 1 Corinthians says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Isn't that amazing? And when this God of love, of patience and healing fills us, it can sometimes overflow, can't it? Have you ever experienced that? If you had a glass and poured water in it, there's only so much that you can pour into this water, this glass, before it starts overflowing. And where does that water go? It has to go somewhere, so it goes over. When God's love starts to overflow in us, where does it go? we can't help but overflow onto others who need love and patience and healing, who need to be accepted. It overflowed on this last Thursday on Thanksgiving in our parish hall with meals served to many and donations up to $500 for the Dunedin Cares food pantry. It overflows to prison ministry, to our local homeless empowerment program, HEP, here in Clearwater, to our local Close to Kids, RCS, cold weather shelters, to people needing a ride to church through our thrift stores, and to shut-ins who can't get out, to those in hospitals or nursing homes who need someone to care, to our Pack-a-Sack ministry, to our neighbors and friends who are struggling, maybe to the person sitting next to you. And I would be amiss if I did not acknowledge that you may be the one who has a need for some of that overflow. Maybe the concept of a God who loves you and cares about you is foreign right now because of all that you're dealing with. In a few moments, we will have the privilege of experiencing the sacrament of Eucharist, where Jesus, Christ the King, will be present. As you come forward, bring that which is burdening you and share it with Jesus. Then as you put your hands together, give those burdens to Him and receive the nourishment that He has for you to sustain you on the next leg of your journey. As we celebrate this feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King, may we know that He is working His purpose and be filled to overflowing with the glory of God. Happy Christ the King Sunday.